Hey there, my DPC Story listeners. Marielle here. I'm thrilled to invite you to a game-changing event I'm hosting featuring Dr. Lauren Hetty. For the past decade, Dr. Lauren Hetty has been pioneering in direct primary care with her practice, Direct Doctors. She's kept her overhead to a mere 20% with zero staff, and now she's ready to share more of her strategies with you. That's right, folks. Dr. Hetty's practice has been booming, with four physicians joining her at her two locations. If you've ever wondered how to keep overhead low, streamline workflows without staff, and experience exponential growth, then this event is an absolute must. And here's the best part. Tickets are pay what you can. Don't miss this incredible opportunity to learn from one of the best in the biz. Reserve your spot now for our virtual Ask the Expert with Dr. Hetty, which will happen on April 30th. Get tickets on the events tab at mydpcstory.com and get ready to elevate your practice to new heights. Direct primary care is an innovative, alternative path to insurance-driven healthcare. Typically, a patient pays their doctor a low monthly membership and, in return, builds a lasting relationship with their doctor and has their doctor available at their fingertips. Welcome to the My DPC Story podcast, where each week you will hear the ever-so-relatable stories shared by physicians who have chosen to practice medicine in their individual communities through the direct primary care model. I'm your host, Marielle Conception, family physician, DPC owner, and former fee-for-service doctor. I hope you enjoy today's episode and come away feeling inspired about the future of patient care, direct primary care.
Direct primary care is what medicine, or more specifically, primary care medicine, is at its core. A patient and a physician working together toward a common health goal. DPC is what we envision medicine to be when we're those little kids and we first have that thought of, I want to be a doctor. When you think back to Hippocrates or any of those historic healers, you see the doctor and the patient working together to treat illness or improve wellness without the hassles of metrics and authorizations and issues about how much this will cost and is this covered. DPC is just an agreement of making health better. It's better for the patients and it's better for the physician. It's a mutually beneficial, trusting, personal relationship. I am Kyle Hampton of Arctos Direct Care, and this is my DPC story.
Dr. Kyle Hampton is a board-certified physician in family medicine and osteopathic manipulative therapy. He was born and raised in Oregon and attended Oregon State University, where he obtained a Bachelor of Science in Biology and a minor in Philosophy with a focus on ethics. After graduating from OSU, he spent 2 years working at a nursing home and fighting wildland forest fires in the summer. Dr. Hampton attended medical school at Midwestern University Arizona College of Osteopathic Medicine. He then completed his internship and residency training in family medicine at Pacific Hospital of Long Beach in California. Dr. Hampton has always enjoyed the outdoors and sports, which has helped to promote his professional medical interest of musculoskeletal health. He practices an integration of OMT with family medicine to help promote healthy body functioning. He believes in the osteopathic principles that the musculoskeletal system plays a key role in maintaining health and that the body has the natural ability to self-regulate and self-heal. These tenets also led him to add prolotherapy into his medical practice to help promote that natural healing process. He has been formally trained in various techniques of prolotherapy and offers a wide range of treatment options. A major goal of Dr. Hampton's care is to keep his patients out there doing the things they enjoy. Dr. Hampton is a member of the American Osteopathic Association, the American College of Osteopathic Family Physicians, the American Osteopathic Association of Prolotherapy and Regenerative Medicine, the Colorado Medical Society, and the Northern Colorado Medical Society. He opened Arctos Direct Care in 2018. Welcome to the podcast, Dr. Hampton.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
It's so exciting to talk with you because you are officially the second person, the second clinic from Colorado. And I definitely know there's more out there. So thank you for joining in on the fun.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, Colorado is kind of a nice little hub for DPC. So that's just how everybody does it here. They kind of go out on their own. So
love it. Now, you are located in Fort Collins, Colorado. So can you please start us off by just sharing, you know, as you made the comment about everyone going out on their own, what is your community like in terms of who lives there and in terms of, you know, what kinds of employers do you see in your area?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. Fort Collins is really an interesting place. As a lot of you know, it's located at the northern end of Colorado on the Front Range of the Rocky Mountains. So right where the Great Plains meets the mountain range or the Continental Divide. It's definitely an eclectic mix of people because you have everything from working farmers and ranch to high-tech firms, university professors, and outdoor enthusiasts. And then, of course, it's like craft beer capital of the world. So you have all the beer aficionados too. It's home to Colorado State University, which has an amazing like agricultural research and vet program. And students literally come from around the world to finish their postgrad programs here in Fort Collins. So it gets a very mixed group of people coming. And we have tons of like the tech research firms and HP, Intel, Broadcom, all those guys are here. Tons of robotic firms and then tons of stuff with like the aerospace industry, as like a lot of that stuff is based in Colorado Springs with the military bases there. So it's definitely a wide group of people, both spectrums of like the political scale too. As many of you know, it's home to like many craft breweries, including New Belgium and many others around here. Like you cannot throw a stone without hitting a brewery here in Fort Collins. So it's also, you know, the foothills of the Rockies. So it's a home base for many outdoor athletes and always a big outdoor recreation scene here. So kind of the whole town, like you can't walk around town without seeing like Cotopaxi and North Face and Mount Harbor stuff. It's just everywhere. So that's just how it goes. It's sort of a small city though, too. It's a population of 170,000. So it has that small city appeal, but also all the amenities you could hope for. And then we're only an hour away from Denver. So everything is really here in Colorado. And there's a large mix of employer groups and small business owners and people who work for big industry and everything. So we see a little bit of everything here.
I didn't realize how diverse it was because I remember when, you know, my husband and I were looking at Fort Collins for a residency. I don't think that we remembered it being so diverse. So that's wonderful to hear, especially for people who are, you know, considering maybe opening a DPC in Colorado. It's something to check out. And so there, I want to ask, in terms of your background, you grew up in Oregon, you went to training in Arizona, then to Long Beach. And so I want to ask, how did you end up in Fort Collins, Colorado?
Yeah, it's definitely a roundabout story. So I met my wife, Dr. Heidi Ovara, the other physician here, during residency in Long Beach. And then she grew up in both Florida and California. We originally kind of thought that maybe we would stay in California after residency and then looked at what it cost. And we're like, yeah, we can't do that. And so we moved out to Jacksonville, Florida and started practicing family medicine there. That's where she grew up and her sister has a dental practice there. So her family was there. And so we moved out there. We worked at a large physician-owned clinic or group of clinics in primary care in Jacksonville. And then after about 3 years, we sort of started getting the feeling like this isn't where we really fit in Northeast Florida. And one, I grew up on the West Coast. Humidity was this foreign substance to me. I didn't know what that was. And then the whole mosquitoes and bugs and everything that Florida has to offer with the swamps and everything. Like my wife was just like, we're done. I got to move somewhere. So we kind of looked all over and like, where do we want to, we have family on both coasts. And so we started looking at the middle of the country sort of to make travel easier. Like it is a direct flight, no matter where we go, if we're in the middle. So we sort of started looking there and then our daughter was born. So she was just about ready to turn one when we were getting ready to move. And we sort of narrowed our search down to Colorado because a recruiter reached out to us and said, like, look, I have these practices that are looking for primary care doctors if you guys want to come out. So we came out and we interviewed all over Denver and that sort of metro area and liked a few of the practices. And then there was a couple that were like, hey, probably wouldn't fit in there. And there was one left up in Fort Collins in the interview that we had to go to. And so we came up here and fell in love with the town and we're like, man, if only they had two positions. And so we were actually, we still talk about it because we were sitting at Elon Musk's brother's restaurant, which is downtown Fort Collins. So we were sitting there talking about it and our waiter was telling us how good the early childhood development daycare at the university was. And so we were like, all right, we're sold. This is what we got to do. Like our daughter has to go to the best type thing, you know? And so we finally convinced them to do two positions in Fort Collins. And so it worked out. And so we moved here and long story short, she never got into the early childhood development place anyway. So apparently that's incredibly hard to get into. But everything worked out and we have fallen in love with Fort Collins. And so this is definitely home for now.
Amazing. And
yeah.
I want to ask there, in terms of you guys, you know, carved a path for yourselves to enter Fort Collins and to establish, you know, as doctors there, how did you end up deciding that you were going to leave that position and open your own direct primary care? Stay with us. We'll be right back. Your calls for more content have not fallen on deaf ears. I am so excited to announce the My DPC Story Patreon community. Delve into exclusive full-length interviews with pioneers like Dr. Neeti Kapoor, our inaugural physician guest, and get further enlightening insights from our current season's doctors, starting with Dr. Harpreet Sui. Hear our guests share even more, from their worst days to their best days and everything in between. Get access to this treasure trove of conversations and more by joining our My DPC Story community now. Check out the link in the show notes or go to patreon.com/mydpcstoryfan. That's patreon.com/mydpcstoryfan.
Yeah, I mean, that's tough. You know, we were working for an FQHC, so federally qualified health clinic, both of us in the same company, but different clinics here in town. And honestly, there was just like tons of frustration, both on our ends, patients and my wife all the time. So I'm the type of doctor who likes to spend time with my patients and doesn't want to rush the visit or anything like that. And with me doing adjustments and everything, like, you can't just fit things into a 10-minute or 15-minute slot. And so I was always running an hour or two behind. Like, patients were mad. They couldn't get to see me. And I was working late every day and then going home and, like, you know, helping put the kids to bed, make dinner, and then spend 3 hours doing notes or finishing up my work. And I just didn't have time for our kids, for our family, or even like my own health. And then seeing 25 to 30 patients a day and just being behind in your notes and everything, it just got to the point that it was overwhelming. And like my wife, Ida, she was kind of going through the same thing. And we were both always just frustrated and sort of always bickering at each other. Just things weren't happy. And you could just kind of tell, like, the patients were upset. We were upset and like nothing was working. And then, you know, more and more metrics would get dumped on you and whatnot. And so we sort of were like, well, what are we going to do? Like, do we look for different positions? Do we move? Like, what is it? And then we had both heard about like direct primary care, concierge practices, whatever, in residency, and never really looked into it. And I remember in Florida, I had looked into MDVIP a little bit and was like, I don't know my own practice. I don't have the ability to buy into an MDVIP type thing. And then somewhere along the line, like, Ida started mentioning again, like, do you remember direct primary care? Or like somewhere came up that there was an article about direct primary care or something. And so we looked into it, like, well, we could do this. Like, this would really work. Like, this would fit how we want to practice. And so it just sort of happened that we started really looking at it and spent at least a year, I mean, well over a year, kind of setting things up and like, can we really do this? And yeah, we set up so we could. I was going through some of my own health issues and had like a big surgery that I was looking at. So I sort of used that as time, like, hey, I'm taking this time off for my own health. I have to do this surgery anyway. Like, I'm going to be out for 2 months. So I set up a lot of that stuff. And then when I went back to the clinic, I told them I'm only going to work part-time. And I told them, like, listen, I'm going to open this practice. Like, I'm going to start part-time. And so I did that in November. I sort of still was under contract, so I couldn't do primary care. So when we first opened it, I was just doing the adjustments and regenerative medicine stuff. And then we set a date on my 40th birthday, which was February of 2019. And I said, I'm quitting. I'm done then. So that's when we could offer memberships. It was the beginning of 2019.
That's amazing. And I just love that you guys moved to this place to enjoy Fort Collins partially. Yeah. And now you're able to take ownership of your lives because you guys are working in your own direct primary care now. So you were working in the FQHC while they were also aware that you were opening up your practice and doing regenerative medicine and osteopathy. So I want to ask, is there any issue with non-competes, or are they not enforceable like they are in California? What's it like in Colorado?
Yeah, well, that's kind of interesting. We've never signed a non-compete, which is kind of like, we're that odd couple in medicine, really. When we went to Florida, the owner of the whole clinic basically said, like, hey, if you think you can do it better across the street, fine. Like, I'm not going to make you guys sign a non-compete. I mean, they paid well and they paid their staff well. And they were like, if you think you can compete with us, fine, try to compete with us. So he never made a sign not compete. Wow. And then when we came to Colorado, it wasn't even asked. So I don't, at the time it was, you know, working at the FQHC, a lot of it was like, people are going to get loan repayment and all that sort of stuff. So they didn't, there were other reasons to make you stay instead of a non-compete. And then it has since come out that they really are not enforceable in Colorado. So you don't really see them much anymore. We never had to deal with them. And I kind of feel lucky about that. Yeah. A lot of it too, like I would bring up my frustrations to administration and be like, listen, I'm trained in doing regenerative medicine. And a lot of our patients were Medicaid, so it wasn't really paid for. But I'm like, I'm willing to do this for free because this is better than trying to send them to the orthopedist or whatever that they can't see for 6 months. And they're a Medicaid patient, so they'll push their surgery out for another year anyway. And they still wouldn't let me. So they knew I was really frustrated in what they would limit me and what I could do. And so when I told them, like, I'm going to do this on the side, they weren't really in a position to fight me on it in a way. Other than they said I couldn't, you know, part of my contract was I could not do primary care yet. So that's fair enough. Like, we can do that. And so I think they saw the writing on the wall and they kind of knew, like, I'm going to leave at some point. Yeah. So, and then my wife stayed because she was under the loan repayment program. So yeah, she stayed for another 2 years there. So.
Gotcha. And that's one question I had for you in terms of, you know, that planning to open up direct primary care, eventually offer primary care services in addition to the services you already had established, and then how your wife joined. So thank you for sharing that. And it's incredible that, you know, like you said, you're a well-trained physician and able to offer all of these services. So it's great that your patients now can benefit from your full scope of practice. So when you gave your notice and you were like, I'm turning 40, this is what's going to happen, period. And you're opening Arctos Direct Care, expanding its services. What were some of the things that you had done early on? Like you said, during your surgery, you had the time to plan for your practice. What were some of the key things that you had going on that enabled you to be successful at the start?
Yeah, well, I mean, that was difficult. And honestly, like, if my wife was not a full-time physician, it would have been really hard. Because at the clinic here in town, it was mainly Medicaid. And in Colorado, there's a law that Medicaid patients cannot pay for personal physician services. I mean, basically it's anti-DPC for Medicaid patients only here. And so we knew when I was leaving, like, none of my patients could follow me. So we were really starting from ground zero there. So if she was not a full-time physician, it would have been financially almost impossible to do. And then going into it too, I knew, like, we were going to have to market it fairly heavily, one, for education for patients, just because it's not a common thing here. And, you know, there's a lot of, we get the question, like, what is membership medicine? What is direct primary care? So, you know, we built a website and started doing a little bit of social media stuff and then put some ads on the radio and things like that before we even opened. So we had a little bit of interest. And then when I came over and started doing the regenerative medicine stuff too, like, obviously I had, like, brochures and all the information I could to give to people that, you know, kind of asked about primary care services if they didn't have a doctor when I was seeing them for other things. So that helped a lot. And then I feel like too, like, you know, we being a NextEra affiliate and getting in touch with Clint Flanagan at NextEra, it helped to sort of get our foot in the door into the model and really start seeing patients, which helped a ton. And then we just got lucky with, like, within the first month, a local daycare that has about 40 employees contacted me and said, what is this you guys are doing? Because we can't afford to pay for insurance for all of our employees, especially a lot of them were college students that would be with them for 6 months and then leave and then come back type of thing. So, sure. So they signed up all their employees right away too, which really kind of helped get it started at the beginning. So yeah, we went from zero patients on my birthday when we opened to about 60 patients within the first couple months. So it really helped. At the same time, there was a lot of days where I sat here and did nothing. You know, like, not a patient walked through the door and the phone call never rang. You know, that would have been really difficult if my wife wasn't still working full time and it had that income coming in. Because, you know, if you sit here multiple days and you're just, the clock's just ticking away, like, you really start to doubt yourself. And until it takes off, it's really difficult. So we, you know, there was just a lot of pre-planning for that year. And I think taking a full year to really do it and get things right and, like, get the logo correct and figure out where we want to market and do some spots on the radio really helped. Yeah.
Stay with us. We'll be right back. Thank you to Spruce Health for supporting the MyDPC Story podcast. The ways we communicate have changed dramatically over the past decades, but technology and tools in healthcare have not kept pace. Patients want more access and digital convenience, as well as the ability to text their care teams. Care teams are inundated with more communication and rising expectations, but are still using tools and technology stuck in prior decades. Spruce Health created a solution for the tech-forward DPC practice by creating a communication product designed to serve both the patient and the doctor through intuitive HIPAA-compliant workflows, tagging, scheduled messages, and triage templates ready for use, whether you're on your phone or in the exam room. New users get 20% off for the first 12 months of a paid plan with code MARYAL20. That's MARYAL20. So check out Spruce Health today at sprucehealth.com or check out the link in the show notes. And it's so interesting that you mentioned, you know, that you were sitting there some days and no contact with patients was happening or potential patients. When you had those moments, when you were saying like, well, thank goodness, like we do have an income coming in, what were some of the things that helped you, you know, get through those moments? Did you reach out to other DPC doctors in your area, in the country? What type of advice would you give to those people who might be experiencing the silent phone right now?
Yeah, I mean, at the time, it was hard to know what to do at first, like what is going to really work. And I mean, literally, we did the whole like ground pound campaign. Like I would walk door to door to small businesses and be like, hey, here's our card. Here's what we do. Like if you're interested, give us a call. Like we went to some of the breweries and would sit there for hours to waiting for, you know, a 10 minute meeting with the owner, the CEO, whatever it was. And then, you know, like being an Nextera affiliate really helped, too, because then I would go with Clint or some of the Nextera folks when they would go and talk to these big employer groups. And so you would get to see like, how did they market it and how did they, what was their spiel to give, you know, in the 15 minutes that they got to talk. And so it really helped in that regard too. And then too, going with those meetings with Clint and things, some of those employers were like, hey, our office is right around the corner from you. Like, and so people would come up and talk to us then like, listen, if we sign up with Nextera, can we come see him? That's exactly what we do. Like, yeah, send him over as fast as you can. So we had some resources here that helped us too, for sure. So, a lot of the other DPC docs in town are Nextera affiliates and we all kind of work together anyway. So, you know, there's within 2 miles of me, there's two other practices and I'm like, hey, you guys, I don't have a bloodletting kit. I don't have a phlebotomy kit. Do you have one? Yeah, come and get it. Like that happens all the time here. So, or, you know, if we need Januvia samples and they have them, we'll just go get them. So we definitely work hand in hand. And I think it's hard because sometimes you're like, are those my competitors or what did we do? So, but when you really, you look at it, like, you know, we're going to probably max out our practice at 450 to 500 people. So in a town of 170,000, like it's a drop in the bucket. So we're really not competing. It's definitely synergistic and we do everything a little bit different, but educating the whole public together really helps. And before COVID happened, we would actually like a couple times, some of the other practices in town, we would get together and talk to the public at times. And then COVID happened and that all stopped. But we definitely kind of work together in some of that stuff. So yeah, that has helped.
That's amazing. And I love the synergy that you are describing there. And yeah, I think about in my own community, I live in a county of 40,000 people, but if there were 20 doctors who were doing DPC here, we still wouldn't have enough coverage for the people in this county. So I can just imagine for 170,000. Now I want to ask, because you've mentioned Nextera and being a Nextera affiliate. So for those audience members who might not be aware, what does it mean to be a Nextera affiliate? And what does that look like on an everyday basis in terms of preserving your autonomy to continue practicing at ArcDose the way you wish to?
Yeah. So Nextera, for you guys that don't know, they've been at this sort of, I don't want to say corporate DPC, but they work with larger corporations to provide DPC services for the employees of those corporations. And so they're based here in Colorado and they've been doing it for over 10 years. So a lot of times how it works to be a Nextera affiliate is Nextera does the legwork to sign up these larger employer groups. And then us as physicians, we're located throughout Colorado or wherever NextEra may be. And then we see the patients on behalf of NextEra. And so we're still fully autonomous. They don't tell us how to practice. They don't ask us to do certain things at all. You know, they send us a list of patients and we take care of the patients. It's kind of how it works. So it definitely, like as a small DPC, it's hard to go after like a school district or some of these larger employee groups that have thousands of employees. Like you just wouldn't work out. So it's really beneficial when NextEra is able to do that because they have this network of, you know, 40, 50, 60 physicians around that can take, you know, 50 patients here and there if we need to. So it's been beneficial for us for sure.
That's great. And I really love this, especially coming on the tails of Dr. Natalie Gentile and Dr. Kirsten Lin, who shared about their MSO in Pittsburgh, you know, collaboration to help us, as Dr. Vanslassy would say, you know, push this rock uphill together. That's really amazing that you guys are collectively benefiting, especially in Colorado where, you know, NextEra is very concentrated. In terms of when you mentioned that you've been able to go with Dr. Clint Flanagan to the meetings and, you know, see how they do their 15-minute spiel, can you give some tips as to what other people could say if they're approaching an employer group or, you know, their daycare locally with, you know, the 40 employees that might be in their own neighborhood?
Yeah, I think like the big thing with that is what these bigger employers are looking for is what is the benefit to them? And a lot of times it's financial and that's just how it works. You know, what is their bottom line and how is it going to affect it? And the nice thing about that is like NextEra has done a lot of research and data on some of the larger employer groups they have on how they've saved them money over time. So they can present that. But then a lot of it comes down to like, what is the employee's experience and what is the benefit for them? And like, why should I sign up for the DPC program through my employer versus just the straight insurance? And a lot of that comes down to access and time that we can spend with them and how easy it is to access care. And so, you know, you have to determine who you're marketing towards and what the benefit is there for them. So when we talk to our patients that we've seen through NextEra, like they all love the service. I mean, for them, it's paid for and they can come here as much as they want. And a lot of our NextEra employers are literally a block away. So, you know, whatever they need, they just come right over to the clinic and they can get it. And, you know, it's easy access for them. It's really good care. And we get the comment all the time, like, I wish I had this at other jobs too. Like, you know, so they definitely see it as a big benefit and a reason to stay at their position. So it's a good way to market towards even small employers. It's like, this is a retention for your employees. Mm-hmm. So it's a benefit package that you can't really get anywhere else. So
that's huge, especially during this pandemic when we saw so many people leaving their positions. Yeah. So, wow. Now, when you talk about NextEra patients versus patients who are not affiliated with NextEra, in terms of the membership, does it look the same in terms of pricing for both NextEra and non-NextEra members at your practice?
Yeah, so all the NextEra members are basically their membership fees are paid to NextEra and then NextEra pays us a percentage. Okay. So we don't set those rates at all. So that's all set through NextEra. But when you look at our rates versus theirs, it's very similar. So even if you know, someone heard about our practice through someone that they knew that was a NextEra patient, the pricing is very similar. So I believe for NextEra, it's right around $99 for an adult with most of their employer groups. And that's right where we are too. We're at $100 for an adult per month. And then there's discounts built in if you add more members. But yeah, so and that's kind of one of the nice things about it is that everybody kind of in the community, we're similarly priced. And so, you know, if someone is talking to someone who gets their membership through NextEra, it's not like a big shock when they come here and they're like, oh my God, I heard the prices were different. Yeah. So we're all about the same. I think that's mutually beneficial to all of us. So there's not like this huge competition because someone's $50 cheaper or anything like sure. that. So, yeah.
And then in terms of choosing, when a NextEra patient chooses a DPC or a DPC physician to go to, how do they find you?
Yeah. So that's, sometimes it's just proximity. So like if an employee through a NextEra company says, yeah, I want to sign up for the DPC one, then they ask them to choose one of the physicians and they have, I'm assuming our bios and where we're located and all that. So a lot of it is proximity. So, we're fortunate that we're a block away from one of their larger groups. That has helped a lot. And then some, you know, they're work is not close to Fort Collins at all, but maybe they live somewhere close. So they can pick either way they want. So it's truly up to the patient who they pick. Some of that we get from word of mouth too. So we'll have some patients or family members will switch in between. And so, you know, it's 100% for the patient. So we don't have any contact or any influence over the patient until they're a member. So I don't even know, like, you know, there's 20 available or not. So it's just, I will get an email from NextEra, like, these two people signed up for your practice type thing. So, yeah.
And when you talk about word of mouth, I mean, I can just imagine, you know, the idea that those employees of, you know, who are benefiting from NextEra services, they have family members who are not benefiting from NextEra services, and they'll share with them, like, hey, I have a DPC doctor for a similar rate. You could have the exact same care that I do.
Right. Yeah, it does really help us on that end for sure. So, you know, some people would never have heard of direct primary care if it wasn't through an employment agreement, through something like NextEra. It definitely helps.
And then for those people who might be concerned about, hey, you know, if I lose my employer group, whether that be through a NextEra type of agreement versus, you know, just a regular employer joining your practice, do you cap the number of people that you accept from an employer group or from NextEra?
Yeah, we do actually. And we get to set that as physicians. It's not like NextEra tells us how many we can have. So we cap that when we want. And it's funny because actually, I am capped. I cannot take any more NextEra patients. It's just, I figure there was a percentage that I want to have as our own private patients, and then a percentage is NextEra. And the fact that we're very close to a NextEra employer, it filled that up right away. So yeah, so there is a little bit of a cap to that, and we get to set that. So that's kind of nice. And that goes back to the autonomy part of NextEra. Other than we're affiliated with them, that's about the only rule that we have. Like they don't step in and tell us how to practice or what to order, anything like that. So, yeah.
Thank you so much for sharing that, because that's definitely a unique experience that has not been shared about on the podcast yet. So now I want to dive into your clinic, to Arctos Direct Care. Yeah. When you talked about, you know, the time to develop your name and your logo, I want to start with, how did you come up with your name?
Well, that is kind of funny. We originally started as Revive Direct Care, and we filed for our trademarks and went through and got the business license through Colorado and everything. And then our lawyer got a letter, a cease and desist letter from a IV clinic at one of the casinos in Las Vegas that was called Revive, basically clinic, and it revived with an IV. So when he looked into their trademark, they were trademarked in every state. So they, you know, they've had a lot of money and they decided, this is what we want to do. This is what we're going to be called. And he said, it's not even worth fighting it. You guys haven't opened. Like, the only thing you have really is the website. So we were sort of in a scramble. Like, what are we going to do? We definitely have to change the name. So we kind of did the brainstorming session at home for weeks. Some names we liked, some names we didn't like. Some names we would look at and be like, oh, there's already a website. Like, you know, this has been taken. So, and then we found some names for Bear. So Arctos means bear, which is our son's name. And so it worked out really well. And it, you know, it's the Greek version of bear, and like Arctic and Antarctic means with bears, without bears. So we also learned a little bit in that same process, and it fit really well for us because me and my wife, we met in California. Our first big trip together was to Big Bear, and then she's Persian, and one of the words for brother in Farsi is pronounced bear as well. And so we had the older sister. And so we named our son Bear. And then it was like, you know, this fits perfect. And it's a name that we're not seeing anywhere online. And there's no other clinics called that. And so that's what we call it. We call it Arctos Direct Care. And our trademarks went through and everything. So we're happy with it. Yeah. And it's worked out really well because it has a little story to it too. So it's always nice to be able to share that.
Absolutely. Yeah. That is so incredible. And yeah, I definitely would say, you know, words of wisdom that I hope will hit home for a lot of people, especially if they're in those or pre-planning stages, to really investigate what's out there, what's trademarked, what's not, because it really can, you know, put a rain on your parade if you go down, you know, paying tons of money for something that you find out is not legally able to happen. So yeah, definitely words of wisdom there. Now, in terms of your logo, I want to ask there, how did you, when you came up with the name Arctos Direct Care, then did you develop your logo, or was that happening all around the same time so you could trademark your logo as well?
Well, so the logo happened first, and we had looked at lots of stuff. And then originally when I started undergrad, it was in mechanical engineering, and I have a minor in philosophy. And so the whole Vitruvian Man thing with balance and Da Vinci and all that just sort of fit right up my alley and what I find interesting. And so we kind of got looking at it and we're like, it's too busy, the actual picture of the Vitruvian Man. And so we wanted to simplify it down as much as we could. And we actually went through 99 designs and paid for the whole competition thing. And we had lots of amazing submissions. And then I started reading about logos and how businesses over time, their logos just continually get more simple as they grow. And so I'm like, all right, so we need it to be somewhat simple too. That's easy to put on a t-shirt or easy to put on a hat or a sticker, whatever it is. And so finally we saw like two or three that like fit perfect. And then the one that we decided on that kind of has that specialized font to the Arctos just really caught our attention, and we've run with it since. Yeah.
Love it.
And it's recognizable because, I mean, I have it on hats, t-shirts, whatever, my jacket, but I'll be around town. Like we took our dog to the vet last weekend and I had my hat on, and like the vet tech was like, what is that? Cause I've seen that logo. And I was like, yes, someone's seen the logo. So it always feels good when you get that feedback about it too. So.
Absolutely. Yeah. And yeah, I definitely, you know, I love graphic design. I do it for fun, but in terms of things that are easily put on a, you know, website, a bumper sticker, whatever from near or far, it really makes a difference when somebody can recognize it, because there's not so many details that you can't make out what it says or what the logo is.
Yeah. And we've definitely done that. We've branded everything we could from, like, we've done a few marathons and races and things. And so you like, you put it on chapstick, you put it on stickers, whatever you can. And so it has to be simple for sure. So, yeah.
No, I want to ask about your website, because one of the things I loved about your website is that you guys have, you know, it's like this internal SEO game going on, specifically on the desktop site, where in the columns where, you know, if somebody can envision a blog, and on the side, it would be the months and the blog entries. On your website, it has advertisements for your own practice. So like Meet the Doctor, and Dr. Hampton has integrated OMT in his practice since 2010. And so I really love that, because you never know when a person's going to land, you never know where a person's going to land. And so can you share a little bit about your website strategy and how you guys ended up doing that?
Yeah. So, I mean, part of that whole year planning is I sort of forced myself to learn website design, and I built the whole website ourselves and did the whole WordPress and bought themes and everything. And then part of that too is there are SEO softwares that you can just put on your website and it basically tells you what to do. So we had that, but we've also we paid people to help with our SEO and it never was successful. And I was like, man, we're just wasting money. What you're doing doesn't make any sense. So I really started actually just looking at the software and like, what is the software telling me to do? And a lot of it is internal links. Like Google will crawl your website based off the internal links you have to your own website. And so I was like, well, that's pretty easy. I can just link to our other pages. And then I kind of thought about it like, all right, when I'm on a website, like, because I do this all the time, like I research stuff way too much, but I like to easily click to get back to other parts of the website. Yeah. So I was like, well, I need to put those links around. And then like, hey, if I'm going to talk about something Dr. Yavari does, I want to link to her profile so people can see her. So it slowly has grown into what it is now, where there are, you know, links back and forth on the website a lot. And then there are some links to external stuff. And like, we've done some outside SEO, like with Enzo Doctors and things like that, where they've created landing pages that we link to and they link to our website, things like that. So it all helps the SEO for sure. So yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Mutual links are definitely a way to, you know, easily get some SEO without having to pay a ton of money. But I think that's great in terms of, you know, using software that won't cost you an arm and a leg, whereas some SEO companies can cost you a ton of money. So that's really great.
And it's not that scary to do yourself. Like I would say, if you're tech savvy at all, like if you can copy and paste, you can figure out how to build a website over time. So they make it pretty easy. It is sort of scary at first because you're like, what am I doing? How do I put this out there? But, you know, as physicians, we pick up things quick and it really didn't take that long to figure it out. Now, sometimes I dread having to go and change things all the time because I'm like, how do I do that again? But I think it's something to at least dabble in and learn to work on your own website a little bit for sure.
Yeah, an idea there in terms of if you are developing your website and you do have something where you're like, I'm working on this now, but I don't know, one, if I'm going to come back to this, or two, if I'm going to have somebody else do this, is you can do, you know, a Loom video or an equivalent to how you're doing your process so that you can refer to those later on. So it's really great. And yeah, I agree, especially with, you know, Weebly and Wix and Squarespace, there's definitely, you know, for those people who are still a little leery, because I totally am about WordPress, you know, there's ways to get confidence in the drag and drop type site. So that's wonderful.
Yeah. Now, the best thing I learned about that is nothing goes out there until you publish it and put it out there. So you can mess around all you want with web pages and how things look and like, oh, I don't like this, it doesn't have to be published. Yeah. So that was one thing I learned, that, you know what, I can create a whole like four or five web pages, and if I don't like them, they don't have to go anywhere.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Now, I want to ask you there, because with your tech, with your website design, with you developing your website, I want to ask, because I did notice that in terms of when people contact your clinic, it's not necessarily arctosdirectcare.com as the domain. Yeah. So your email for general contact is arctosdirectcare@gmail.com. So do you have that specifically because you have, you know, the Gmail side being checked and it's a separate inbox compared to where your patients go?
So our patients use that too. So we set that up as just a completely separate email for us. And we did that because for me, and just the way my brain works, Gmail works really well. We do have the actual arctosdirectcare.com domains as well, but just like an admin one and a Dr. Hampton one. So for more administrative stuff, I use that. And then the sort of phase forward one is the Gmail one. A lot of times it's just easier to tell people it's at gmail.com too. It's easy to remember. The one thing with that is we did sort of have to add software in for encryption and security and all that sort of stuff. So, you know, if we do send patient records or anything, we encrypt everything. So we just use add-on softwares that work well with Gmail on that stuff.
Gotcha. Yeah. No, and great things to think about, because, you know, Gmail is so common. And so if people choose to use it, those are definitely words of wisdom to think about.
Yeah.
Now,
the other nice thing about Gmail is the notifications go to my phone. So
nice.
Like the link on our website. So if someone is asking for information, it sends me an email. And so I get that immediately. So I feel like I can respond to things fairly quickly. Yeah. So it definitely helps on that. Whereas when we use the arctosdirectcare.com, I have to go in and actually physically check that. So if someone left me a message there, I'm not going to immediately get a notification like I do with Gmail.
Now, I want to ask about your services specifically that you offer at your practice, because you opened with regenerative medicine and osteopathy, and you mentioned like Enso doctors. Can you tell us a little bit about the branches in addition to primary care that you offer at Arctos Direct Care?
Yeah. So, I mean, we do kind of do a lot here. I do the manipulation. So I do a lot of OMT, and then the regenerative medicine, and Dr. Vari does aesthetic medicine along with family practice and DPC stuff. So depending on the week, I mean, it can be a 50-50 split. It can be 100% DPC or 100% regenerative medicine, OMT. I would say the one consistent is OMT is by far the one that has booked out the most. One, because it's just something that has a lot of follow-up anyway, but also like some patients just seek us out for that in general. And we, with OMT a lot, because, and I price it accordingly so that it looks attractive to become a member, but a lot of our OMT patients end up becoming members over time. You know, you talk to them a little about DPC here and there, and eventually they're like, you know, when I haven't been able to get in to see my doctor, like, how hard is it to see you? Like, you know, because if they're seeing me like every 2 or 3 weeks anyway for an adjustment, pretty soon they're like, why can't I just do everything here? And they do. And the aesthetic medicine side works very similar too. It's a completely different clientele than what we traditionally and typically see that seek us out for direct primary care. It's a lot more of like the younger female crowd, or even like the older professional crowd that wants a physician specifically to do some of their aesthetic stuff. And then when they come and they're like, wait, you guys do this too? Like, I can get my medicines here. So then that it gets people in the door and gets them looking at the membership as well. The other thing that it affords for us is that we can keep a smaller patient population on our DPC side because we have other income coming in too. So it's been really beneficial on that side, because I never 100% feel overwhelmed with the primary care side of stuff, the membership side of stuff, because we keep a smaller patient population. So yeah, so we kind of have our different hats that we wear throughout the day and at different times. But, you know, outside of the typical office hours, I would say that's where a lot of the DPC stuff happens anyway, because patients are at home from work finally, and they think of something and, you know, send us a message. So a lot of the actual primary care stuff actually, I would say, happens outside of typical office hours, other than if they're scheduling, like when we have them come for follow-ups and physicals and things like that. Yeah. So it works well for us. And we're happy to have the eclectic mix here for sure.
And I love that. And, you know, in terms of when you do manipulation, when you do prolotherapy, when you do aesthetics, when Dr. Yavari does the aesthetics, I want to ask, you know, if there is an esthetician in town or a chiropractic person in town, why do patients migrate towards you guys versus going to one of their services if they're not members of Arctostruct Care?
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to toot our own horns, but I think there is a little bit different standard of care, especially like with Dr. Yavari's side on the aesthetic side. Is she is very subtle in what she does and very careful. And in medical school, she tracked ENT and head and neck surgery. So her anatomy of the face is very good. And she's very careful about, you know, not dropping a lid or not injecting a vessel, things like that. And so we get a patient population on the aesthetic side that only wants to see a physician, and or it's physician spouses or, you know, physician's parents or whatever, that a doctor is saying, no, I only want you to go do this with a physician. And then that kind of starts building on itself because people have good results and they don't get a lot of complications, and she does really good work, and it's subtle, and it kind of grows its own word of mouth. So we've kind of tapped into that part of the community of people that are seeking out physicians only, and that, so that's worked out really well for her. And then on the adjustment side, what I do as far as with OMT, it's a lot different than maybe what they've experienced as a chiropractor or maybe even other DOs, because there is not a lot of DOs around here that are still doing adjustments. And so when someone finds out that we are DOs, like, that's the first question, like, do you do adjustments? And if you do, can I come see you? So some people have had experience with it before. And so it has turned into sort of this thing that people seek it out, and then they refer other patients that may benefit from it. Not that we intentionally did that we would try to separate ourselves out in that, but it's worked out well. And, you know, part of our sort of logo or theme, whatever you want to say, our motto is the, you know, your doctor on your time every time. And so that is something that we do pride ourselves on, that a physician is going to do your procedure and a physician is going to do your adjustment, and a physician is going to, you know, be the one looking at your labs. And so over time, patients really appreciate that. And they like the little insights that we're able to give, or, you know, the I don't want to say standoffish care, but because just the way DPC works, I don't need to order, you know, the full panel of labs to check out every zebra diagnosis out there. We can work things through things sort of methodically and slowly, and patients really do appreciate that. So if you don't have to send them for a CT and an MRI on day one, they tend to appreciate that for the bottom dollar for sure. So I think we've tapped into that community, that's what they're looking for. And then it just has grown on itself with word of mouth for sure.
Amazing. Now, yes. I want to ask there, in terms of with you guys providing these multiple branches of your practice, do you have any difference in terms of malpractice to cover these services that you guys provide?
Yeah, we do. And that, I mean, luckily, we work with COPIC, which is a lot of Colorado physicians, COPIC. And so it was a struggle at first to find someone who, one, understood direct primary care and the fact that we have less patients and therefore less overall risk with patients, but then also who would allow us to do some of these other procedures that maybe fall outside the scope of primary care. So we definitely sort of had to work through everything with our malpractice carrier. And they set it up where, like Dr. Yavari is 50% covered for family practice and 50% covered for derm. So, you know, her coverage is a little different than what mine is. And luckily the manipulation falls under primary care, so that part wasn't too much harder. And then the regenerative medicine side, as long as we're not sort of delving into the stem cell side of stuff, the malpractice is okay with a lot of that, what we do, as long as it's sort of office-based procedures. You know, if we're getting into bone marrow biopsies or bone marrow stem cells and things like that, then they would have an issue with that. But luckily I don't do that, and we stay away from that side intentionally a little bit. Yeah. So it was a struggle at first to find a malpractice carrier that was like, yeah, you can do all of this and we're okay with it. But Copic is big enough that I think they've probably seen it all. Yeah. And so they found out a way to work out a policy for us.
That's great. And definitely, yeah. You know, things to think about, especially for those people who are looking to include services similar to yours in terms of, especially if they're planning on DPC and getting rates for malpractice, to ask those questions about coverage. That's great.
Yeah. I think that's one of the biggest things with malpractice carriers is, if you're just telling them that you're primary care, they're going to bill you like you're seeing 4,000 patients, primary care, where at least with us, with Copic, they knew what direct primary care, or at least concierge medicine, was. And they specifically asked us, like, what is your patient population going to be? And, you know, we'll kind of adjust your rates based off of a lower patient population. So it is something to ask.
Awesome. Now, in terms of products that you guys choose to use, because on your website, especially for Dr. Yavari's offerings in aesthetics, you guys list particular brands that you use. So when you guys have had this experience and you're bringing it to your patients, how do you choose the products that you decide to use for your patients and in your practice?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of that is research and training, especially on the aesthetic side. Like, she was trained in Botox and ZMN, and then the Restoril or Restylane products and Juvederm products and those, and now some of the new ones like Pelotera and stuff. So some of it is training and you know, what you're taught is what you're going to use type thing. I think that goes for a lot of us, but we do research it and try to come up with, like, why is this better, or what is the benefit to our patients having this product versus something else, whether it's safety or efficacy, or sometimes it is a price point too. And then with me, with like the PRP and prolotherapy side of stuff, like I've done a lot of actual formal training through the AOA, and there are some of the societies that do formal training for prolotherapy. And so some of it is you see the products there. I mean, obviously there's booths there where you can learn about different products, but a lot of it I research on my own. And in the PRP world, there are tons of products and options out there, but I wanted something that was verified, like that I knew what I was injecting and knew what I was using. And so when we originally started, Enzo was not a thing. And I mean, it's pretty common that people know that I use Enzo for our PRP products. So we originally started with M-Site through PRP Labs because they had the data that I was looking for to back up what I was telling patients. And I felt like it was a quality product, and using their kits, I could reproduce what I wanted to reproduce with the PRP, and use them for 2 years. And then Andrew Pope contacted me and said, this product's coming out, and things are verified through Kansas State University, and like the price point is good. And you know, I found out some information on it, and then I contacted Pat Farley with Enzo. And before they even launched, I was like, give me a sample. So you need to give me a sample and teach me how to do this, because the data that you guys are showing me is pretty good. And so we started using them from pretty much day one when they were on the market. And one time, like, I was out there in Kansas at their headquarters, and it was funny because I was picking up an order. I just happened to be going through on a mountain bike trip, and I was like, Pat, I'm going to stop by because I need to pick up a big shipment. And it's funny because Corey came out, one of the staff there, and he's like, you've been with us a year now, and you've ordered the most so far. And so I was like, well, it's kind of good to know that, like, you know, you guys are following up, and they're small enough to know who I was and know all that sort of stuff. And so it really makes me feel good. But the nice thing is like with Enzo particularly, like, I can call Dr. Arava or I can call Pat and like have a question. They're super willing to help, and they, you know, love DPC and love what DPC stands for. And they love to help out the community as well. So they're sort of that small business that's trying to break into a huge market, and they do things a lot like DPC anyway. So it is really nice to work with them. And just a side note, like, I had a really interesting experience with Enzo 2 weeks ago where a patient that I had done PRP on his shoulder and his back like 2 years ago called. He's like, I know this is really out of the blue, but do you treat animals? And I was like, I do not treat animals, but Enzo started as working on the veterinarian side. So let me call them. And Dr. Arava was actually flying into Colorado that night.
Wow.
And he said, have the patient call me and we'll figure it out. And so he treated his dog down in Denver the next day. I was amazed. I was like, nowhere else does this happen like this. Like, you can't just call up a company and be like, yeah, we'll treat him. So yeah, that was amazing to me.
That's awesome. That's so awesome. And yeah, I definitely would say, you know, they are so community-based in terms of like at their training sessions, they'll do services just for veterans.
Yeah. The shots for shoulders or for soldiers. Yeah. It's fantastic. Yeah.
And I want to ask there in terms of, you know, your own use of ENSO products and ways to treat patients with prolotherapy, you've harnessed your services in terms of on your marketing. Cause I want to say you had a UFC fighter on your Instagram. And so when you talked earlier about, you know, even breaking into your own local market, it's a little bit difficult sometimes if people don't know about DPC, but tell us about when you've been able to, you know, publicize your services through your patients, especially if they're, you know, big names in the UFC world, et cetera. For example, how does that help your practice?
Yeah, you know, I mean, probably the most notable one is Dwayne Lugwood that we've treated a few times, and he's on our website and social media and stuff like that. And that, you know, Pat, the owner of ENSO, he's a huge UFC fan and he knows a lot of the fighters. And he called me one day and said, hey, I have this UFC legend who lives just like 40 minutes south of you. Can you treat? And I was like, I don't know if I'm up for this, Pat. Like, tell me a little bit more what's going on. And so, you know, Dwayne came up here and we treated him and he did really well. We treated a back issue on him, and he had been told by ortho, like, you're looking at surgery and like, you're not going to be able to, because Dwayne trains a lot of UFC fighters and he has his own training facilities down in Denver. He was kind of told like, you're not going to be able to do this after surgery for a long time. And that wasn't something he wanted to hear. So Pat said, hey, like, let me send you up to Dr. Hampton. He uses our products, and go up there and see what he can offer. So we treated Dwayne and he did really well with it. And then a couple of weeks later, like, Dwayne was calling and be like, hey, can you treat my other trainers that are here? And they're always dealing with chronic shoulder and knee injuries. And so I was like, sure, send them up. So we started treating them, and then his family and everybody started coming, and it sort of snowballed on itself from there. Like, people were getting really good results with the PRP and things. And so they start coming back, and now it's turned into this thing where I see Dwayne two or three times a year and we treat what's ever ailing him at the time. And it does really well. And it's been good marketing for us, both on the ENSO side and then on our own personal side and things like that. So yeah, it is funny. And with the Olympic training facilities, you know, there's a lot of them here in Colorado. Every once in a while, like, I'll just get a random call from one of the trainers and be like, hey, I saw you treated Dwayne. Can we send you one of our athletes? And I'm like, sure. I mean, sometimes it's unrealistic. They're like, they have a race tomorrow. Can you treat them? Like, that is not how this works. But, you know, we can treat them after for sure and do that. So that has helped a lot. And I think with some of those UFC guys being such public figures or on social media all the time, it has really helped get us into markets that probably would never know about us at all, for sure, up here in Fort Collins. So
yeah, the situation is so unique, especially how that all happened. But I just love that, you know, it's like we talked about on your website, you don't know where people are going to land. You never know who's going to look at your social media. So I love that.
Yeah.
Now I want to ask in terms of staffing, because, you know, publicly on social media, you've mentioned how you were like, I don't need staff. I could totally do this, keep my overhead down. And that changed when Jeanette joined your practice. So can you share a little bit about your thoughts behind hiring a staff member and how it ended up that Jeanette joined your practice?
Yeah, well, we have had our eye on Jeanette since we've known her. She was actually Dr. Yavari's MA for like 5 years. So we knew if Jeanette ever left Salud, the health clinic here, that we would want to hire her. And so we actually, when we first opened, we had a staff member. So we hired more of just a receptionist. She was not medically based at all, but she was really good at social media. And so we hired someone to be here to answer the phones when I was out trying to sell our products to everybody else around town. And so she did a lot of answering the phone, did a lot of social media stuff for us, and really sort of got a little bit of foothold as far as followers and stuff around town. And she would go to some of the small businesses and just like, hey, can we leave cards here? And, you know, brochures or whatever. And so she was more of like a marketer for us at that time. She was not medically trained at all. And so she was with us for probably like the first 4 to 6 months. And then her and her fiance were moving out to California. And at the time I was like, I sort of have enough patient population right now that I don't need help. And I did fine for a year and a half, 2 years as we were growing. And part of that was during COVID anyway. So it's not like mm-hmm. we had a bunch of people in the office or wanted to have a bunch of people in the office at any one point anyway. So I didn't really feel like I needed a staff member at the time. Now, I was doing a lot on my own, and there was a lot of like, you know, finish clinic work, then go home and work on the website or work in the business, whatever it was, and do the faxes later. And so when my wife was getting ready to start coming over, she's like, you need to hire an MA. And Jeanette was going out on maternity leave for her fourth little one. And so we approached her and said, will you come over to Arctos when you're off of maternity leave? And so we kind of planned for it that when she came back after maternity leave, that she would come over and help us. And like I said, we always knew she was fantastic at what she does. She's been an MA for a long time, but she's also fantastic at phlebotomy. She's fantastic with the patients. She speaks Spanish, which is huge in our community. So she, like I put on our website or whenever we talk about her, she's like our little Jill of all trades. And it has really helped us a ton there and taken a lot of sort of the extraneous business stuff mm-hmm. off of my plate, which has made it easier to take care of patients. And then also, like, you know what, it's 2:30 and I want to take my son to Taekwondo practice. Like, I can leave. Like, you know, I don't have to worry about that because I know Jeanette has handled it. And one good thing with her is she's done this long enough and she's been an MA long enough that she's 4 steps ahead of me and Dr. Ivari and what we need. So like if a patient's coming in for prolotherapy, I don't even know she's done it. And I walk in the room and like the whole kit is set up and ready to go. I'm like, well, normally this would take me an extra 45 minutes to do all this and get everything ready. So it's been a huge help to us and really taken like a lot of that burden off that you don't even know that is a burden to you until you don't have it, you know? So it's been huge for us. So yeah, hopefully she'll stick around forever.
That's awesome. And, you know, I love, again, with social media, just drawing attention to the fact that, like, you've posted, you know, her drawing blood on your Instagram. And so yeah. I really love that you're highlighting, you know, everything about your practice. So it's definitely something to consider as people are building out their own social media feeds to highlight
and
the people.
The drawing blood thing with her has been huge because now patients know, like, I can just stop by whenever I want and Jeanette can draw my blood. And patients love that. Like, because here in Fort Collins, it is, you know, sort of as big as we are, there's only one LabCorp in town and you typically have to make appointments at LabCorp to get in. So it's not just like a walk in and get it done. And so, you know, they just stop by anytime they want. And even if we're busy, like she handles it and draws the blood and people love it. And we get the comment all the time, like that was the easiest blood draw I've had. And so it's a huge benefit just on the outward appearance of how things work here too.
That's great. Yeah. And in terms of, you know, if she needs time off, you have a PTO program set up. So could you tell us a little bit more about how you guys decided to do that and how it's been working out?
Yeah. So a lot of that comes back to like software that we've looked into and used. And so we use Homebase for our timekeeping and how to track paid time off and track hours and all that. And then also our payroll is all done through Homebase, which is an app on your phone. It's on our like merchant services, point of service, checkout and all that. So it makes it real easy. And so we've set it up that like Jeanette gets a, you know, certain amount of holidays off and time off throughout the year. And then also sick time, but it does build up. So we've, through the software, you're able to build up that she accrues it over time to a maximum. And then there's allotments for how much she can carry over or how much sick time she can carry over year to year type thing. So we just sort of set it up based off whatever hours she works. She can accrue so much time to a certain point and then I'll let her roll it over. But honestly, like if she needs to leave for anything, we let her leave. Like we treat this like a family. And if she needs time off, she just takes time off. If she wants to use her paid time off, great. If she wants to save it up and go on a huge vacation, I don't care either. I've done it for years without her. So I can manage for a week here and there. Yeah. So, but I think like, if you are looking at hiring staff, it's really important to set that up and set up those benefits for them and have a plan on how it's going to work. Because say you're going to hire your second or your third, like you want to have something uniform. It's easy to fall back on and say, this is the way it works. And nobody's out of confusion on how they build up their time off or get their sick time or anything like that. So Yeah.
Awesome.
One of the things too, if anybody is looking at that type of software, like Homebase is fantastic because you can pay a small fee and they will build out your employee handbook and put all that stuff in writing and send it to your employees and keep track of everything. So it is a fantastic little piece of software if you're willing to pay for it.
Very, very good advice there, especially for people who are wanting to hire staff and, you know, would not like to have one more thing on their plate, especially the employee handbook. So that's awesome. Right. Yeah. Now, in terms of, you mentioned that, you know, there was a time that your wife, Dr. Yavari, was at the FQHC doing loan repayment. And I want to focus now on the time that you guys were at where it was like, okay, now this is right for you to come join me over here at Arctos. So can you tell us about, you know, how you guys came to the decision and what made it right for you guys to have her join on when she did?
Yeah. I mean, when we first looked at that on like when she would come over, it was more like we need to have a certain member number where we can financially make it feasible for her to come over. And then COVID happened. And if you guys don't know anybody who works at an FQHC, like COVID brought out the worst of what an FQHC can be because they had physicians in the heat, in the parking lot, testing patients, and we're giving them extra shifts and more hours and no time to see patients and no time off. And it really sort of solidified our decision. Like she can't stay there no matter what, like she needs to leave. So when her time was done for her loan repayment, she left very soon after that, almost to the point that we probably weren't at the point where we decided we should be at membership wise, but with her doing the aesthetics stuff and with some of the other products that we offer, as far as the regenerative medicine and the OMT, we're like, okay, we can financially float this for a little bit and make this happen. And so she kind of started, because with COVID, she was working from home a lot of the time if she wasn't actually at the clinic doing testing and things like that. So on her time off, she slowly started to sort of start doing a lot more of the aesthetic stuff that she was just doing on the weekends here and there. And that had started to grow on itself. So we're like, all right, if you can do 5 of these procedures a week, like we can cut some costs somewhere else and we can make this happen for a while. And then the fact that she was here more, like then patients were like, well, can I be a member under Dr. Yavari?
Yeah.
Sure, you can. Yeah. So it just sort of happened that the whole COVID and the pandemic sort of forced our hand a little bit on it, but it worked out well in our case. And there were some bumpy times there financially when we're like, I don't know how we're going to pay that bill this month because we don't have your income coming in. But it allowed her to be able to grow her own practice a lot easier too. And so it forced our hand, but it really helped in the long run.
Awesome. Yeah. And when you talked about, you know, going door to door for your own services, when you opened after you guys figured out like, oh, you know, if you did 5 of these procedures a week, it would really help. Did she go out to, you know, day spas and other services to say like, hey, you know, I'm a physician who actually, you know, does provide these things. What else do you need that I could bring to your patient population?
Yeah. So that, fortunately, we live in Fort Smallins, so everybody knows everybody in town. So a lot of our close friends and people in our neighborhood, like one owns a gym and other things like that. So she would, you know, she would work out at the gym and we would run specials like, hey, if you're a member of this gym, come over and we'll give you a discount. And so we were able to kind of grow her side of the practice that way, where she didn't have to do a lot of advertising. So a lot of it was word of mouth. And then, like I said, it is truly like the smallest little town in the world because everybody knows everybody. So like one person, like that gym owner, does a ton of social media stuff. And so when she was coming in here for her treatments, she would post on it and nice. She would do a live video. And so then 10 people would call and be like, I want to do what she did. So that really helped us grow like that. And then we've worked with some local like charity type organizations that have set up in Fort Collins with people that we know and small business owners that we know. And it's really kind of grown itself that way. So I kind of feel like we got lucky in that we knew some social media influencers just happenstance, you know, throughout working out or whatever we did. And they were interested in the services. And then they posted and blew it up for 2 or 3 weeks. And then it kind of would start snowballing. So, yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah.
No, I want to ask because, you know, I feel the life of both parents being physicians. So I want to ask about how you guys, because your children are, you know, they're not able to drive themselves places. They're small enough that, you know, it takes work to be their parents.
Yeah.
You know, so I want to ask, how do you guys balance it all?
Yeah, it is. It's definitely a balancing act all the time. And I would put a lot of that credit on my wife. Like, she is the organizer and knows where everybody's supposed to be at all times. So our kids are 7 and 5. So they'll be second grade in kindergarten starting next year. But they do violin, taekwondo, school of rock, horseback camp in the summer, like all sorts of stuff. They're all over the place. And so literally we have a schedule at home, like who's picking up who, where. The nice thing with us both being at the same practice is that I usually come in early and start seeing patients first. And then Dr. Yavar comes usually around 9:30 or 10. And she usually leaves to pick up the kids around 2. And then I will stay later and then meet everybody wherever we're going. So it's definitely a juggling act all the time, but we make it work. And luckily, pretty much everything that the kids do is within a 10-mile radius. So home is kind of in the middle of that. So, you know, it's a lot of, okay, I will meet you here and pick up one kid or drop the kids off at the office for 25 minutes and then I'll take them where they need to be. The nice thing about it too is, like, we're small enough and our patient population community is small enough that, like, when our kids are here, people, like, they will sit down and whatever they're drawing or whatever they're doing, like, people love seeing our kids here at the office. So it has worked out. And, you know, I think all parents can attest to this, is you just find a way to make it happen and mm-hmm. you end up where you need to end up. And do we miss an appointment here or there? Sure. Are we late to stuff? Sure. You know, like, it happens. Like, unexpected things will happen all the time with kids. And, you know, you just kind of have to roll with it a little bit. So, yeah.
I laugh because I had one visit where I was like, I'm sorry, today, you know, my son was literally hanging on me and would not let me leave the house. So I'm sorry, I'm 15 minutes late. And they were like, well, when, let me show you, see pictures. Like, that was their response, and not, you know, being mad about me being 15 minutes late. So I love that. Yeah. Now, I want to ask, because you guys are both, you're working in the DPC, what do you guys do for health coverage for yourselves?
Yeah. So when she was still working at the FQHC, obviously we were under her insurance, and now we have switched to health shares. And so we use Zion for our own family, and then primary care needs, we sort of take care of our things here ourselves if we need to, or some of the other DPC doctors in town or whatnot. The nice thing is too, is like we have some of our good friends are doctors, some of our good friends are dentists. So, you know, we don't ever feel for a lack of being able to take our kids wherever they need to go to see people. But for true, like, catastrophic coverage, we do use the health share and mm-hmm. things like that. Feel fortunate that those options are out there, because if anybody has looked at what it costs to be a business owner and buy your own health insurance, it's kind of staggering right now. And it just keeps going up. The other thing too, working with Zion, and if you guys haven't worked with Zion at all, I really but urge you to at least contact them and get to know them a little bit, because Zion is sort of an offshoot of Pinsler, which does large employer group health plans and health coverage. And the fact that they have both sides of it now with actual insurance plans and health shares, some of their brokers have gotten really creative with some of our small business owners' plans on how they set it up. So, like, catastrophic insurance plans with an HSA plus a health share. And so some of our members have really interesting setups through Zion and Pinsler that I feel like if they're small businesses that you guys are working with, it can be a huge advantage to set up some of the plans, because they're much cheaper than a traditional insurance plan, and the coverages are really fairly good.
I just love that, you know, you're a DPC doctor, so you understand that insurance is not healthcare. But I also love that you are coming at your own healthcare from a cost share perspective, so that you can even understand where your patients are coming from even more. So I love that. Yeah.
Yeah. And I've had my share of health stuff. Like, I've had some skin cancers and things like that. So I still go see the specialist. And when you pay cash, it's always cheap. I'm always amazed. Like, they'll look at me like, you're paying cash? I'm like, yeah, what does it cost to pay cash? I'm like, oh, well, we have a $150 fee. And I'm like, well, that's cheaper than what an insurance premium would have cost me. So yeah, like, the options are out there. And, you know, if you're just willing to look, you really don't need insurance. I do suggest that you have some sort of catastrophic care, whether it's a health share or whatever it is, but When you really talk to most of the specialty clinics around town, they have plans set up for cash pain patients, and most of them are pretty reasonable. And mm-hmm. if you sit down and factor in what you're saving per month from an insurance premium, and even if you put a fraction of that aside, like, you have a nice little pot in case you need it at the end of the day. So yeah, there's plenty of ways to do it.
Awesome. And I want to ask now, shifting the conversation a little bit, with regards to Fort Collins, Fort Smallins, you guys still yes. have a bunch of DPCs within within your neighborhood. So I want to ask, in terms of, you know, being successful, being able to provide the services you guys wish to provide, and yet still having other DPCs, like you said, you know, 2 miles away from you, how do you talk to other people in terms of, if others are fearful about, like, oh, you know, I can't survive because this DPC succeeded or this DPC failed. Yeah. How do you advise people to think about their own situation?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. And I think it definitely is community dependent. Like, you kind of have to feel out what your community is doing and what it's interested in, and what the niche is going to be. I feel fortunate that we have other services that, you know, we can fall back on if we need to, but especially on social media, like, it's hard when sometimes you see someone like, oh, I've been open 2 months and I have 200 members. Like, some of us, like, you know, it took us a year to get to 100. And then, you know, a lot of practices opened during COVID, and growth was hard during COVID for everybody, I think. And so, you know, work with your community, work with your chamber of commerce, whatever it is, to figure out, like, where are the needs. And our chamber here has been great because, I mean, I'm a member of our chamber, and I've gone to, like, some of the like BNI type groups that they have, but also I've gone to the chamber and been like, can you guys give me an idea of where the small businesses are in town that have between 5 and 50 employees, and how can I contact them? And they're like, sure, we'll have that for you in an hour. Like, they have that information. It's just, you got to ask for it. So, you know, find out what resources are in your community and what your niche is going to be, and just where you need to go to find those patients or find people that are looking, because people are looking for DPC type services for sure. Again, they just don't know where to look. So, and we don't know where to find them. So you have to figure out how you go and meet those patients, whether it's through your local social media influencer or whether it's through your chamber of commerce, whatever it is. But here in town, most of us doing DPC, we all kind of work together, and you know, we'll bounce ideas off each other or cover each other's practices and things like that. So it is really nice. Like, you know, Dr. Cardin just started here in town, and he still works with the residency clinic and still works with the teaching program. So just by default, he's getting the word out there because he sees all the hospital patients. So, you know, even if he gets the majority of those patients, the word has still been spread, and there's plenty of patients to go around. So at least in my mind, I don't feel like I'm ever in competition with other DPC doctors. If anything, we're in competition with the huge clinics in town, and we're sort of the better option when patients get frustrated. And like the largest primary care group in town just got bought out by a national organization, and there's already inklings that patients are not happy. So, you know, it's nice to have this core group of practices in town that, like, look, here's a different option. Like, you don't have to choose me, but at least look at one of these options. So yeah.
Love it. Now, in closing, I want to ask, what other resources would you recommend to others, in addition to the ones you've mentioned, that could really help people, especially if they're thinking about DPC or branching out to adding services like you guys do?
Yeah, I mean, figure out what you love to do. You know, you never want to be in a practice where you're not having fun and you don't feel like you can practice the way you want to practice. So for me, I love musculoskeletal stuff, and the OMT and the regenerative medicine fit there. And so that was something that I wanted to learn how to do anyway, even if I wasn't allowed to do it where I was currently practicing. But, you know, find out what works for you, and then, you know, go to whatever trainings you can, go to the conferences and learn about those services. Cause you know, there are 150 companies that want to help you succeed. I mean, in your success, they're going to succeed too. So find those companies that do what you're interested in, and you know, build something that you can specialize in. And then as far as DPC, I mean, I think the resources just continue to grow. I mean, we have the DPCA and DPC University and all that sort of stuff now, and DPC Frontier and the Mapper are great. So if you're willing to look, there's tons of stuff out there. I think a lot of it too, it's we fear what we don't know. And you know, we don't come out of med school learning how to run a practice or even how to set up a business license. So, you know, be willing to take it slow and learn about all that sort of stuff and talk to people who have done it and know what you don't know. Because, you know, the worst part is you do something that's out of your scope and you don't know you're doing something wrong. So, you know, really talk to people. And I think we're fortunate here. I mean, like Clint was a huge resource when I was starting because, you know, he got us in contact with lab reps and with GPO organizations and all of these things that I was spinning my wheels trying to figure out, like, how do people get these prices at the imaging centers? Like, I don't understand. Like, I talk to them and they just tell me no, or, you know, discounts on labs. And so you talk to somebody who's done it and they're like, here, let me send you the info for this rep, and then they'll get you set up. So definitely reach out to people, even if you don't think they're going to be a mentor. Like, you know, most of us in the DPC world are willing to help other physicians move into direct primary care and to move into helping patients better. So anytime someone contacts me, I will give them all the resources I can. And I've even had other physicians come in here and be like, I just want to shout at you for a day and see what you do because I want to do this at some point. Like, you know, and I think it's great that people are interested in it and are looking enough that they're like, hey, this is what we should be doing. So yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. And if anybody ever wants to call me and chat on what we do or how we do it, like, feel free to. Yeah.
And what's the best way for others to reach out to you after this podcast?
Man, I mean, you can find me on Facebook or Instagram if you want. Like, send an email to ArcDoseDirectCare@gmail.com. It's perfectly fine. Like, pull up our clinic and text the phone number that goes to our Spruce account. So the only thing with Spruce is you got to tell me who you are because it just pulls up a number the first time. So I'm perfectly fine if someone wants to contact me for any questions. Yeah. I feel like, you know, people have done that for me. I owe it to the rest of the community to do it as well. So.
Fantastic. Yeah. Thank you so much, Dr. Hampton, for joining us today.
Yeah, it was fun. Thanks, Marielle.
Next week, look forward to hearing from Dr. Ka Young Lee of Sunny Health DPC in Las Vegas, Nevada. I hope to meet many of you this June at the HINT Summit. And if you can still make it and you haven't yet registered, register today at summit.hint.com and use the code MyDPCStory100 for $100 off registration. And for those of you who are unable to make the HINT Summit, I look forward to seeing you at the DPC Summit in Kansas City, Missouri this July 15th through 17th. Check out the My DPC Story bonus episodes for a preview to both the HINT Summit and the DPC Summit in Kansas City. If you've enjoyed the podcast and you haven't yet done so, subscribe today and share the episode with a physician you may know who needs to hear about DPC. Leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and on Spotify now as well, as it helps others to find all these DPC stories. Lastly, be sure to follow us on social media. If you're wanting to continue learning more about DPC in the meantime, check out dpcnews.com. Until next week, this is Marielle Conception.